to me. Right back.
Have you no shame? Is nothing sacred?
What? In the supermarket?
No, you never got.
Suture.
Suture.
Thank you, nurse.
You're welcome.
Car world and.
Movies for you. Some pretty.
The ABC presents Graham Kennedy's RS Playhouse. A deep and meaningful
of various age.
Written by Gary Riley and Tony Sattler. The work silently beckoning.
I find you guilty. I also find you absolutely fascinating.
The Passions of Desiree Nightingale, QC. A Tangled Web of Love in the Law, and the Law in Love. Episode 26, 1592. Desiree Nightingale, QC, is brought to you by the Firm Vein Supportive Hosiery and Scaffolding Corporation. Remember, Firm Vein is the trust you can trust. Look for the octopus label.
The story is so far. Alone at last in the judge's chambers, Desiree's eyes softened as the judge dropped his briefs on the table and turned to her nonchalantly toying with his gavel.
Morning, Mr. Anderson. Time for your injection.
Mm-hmm.
I said it's time.
Just a minute. There.
I said it's time for your injection.
Leave it by the bed. I'll drink it later.
Don't be ridiculous. Now, come on.
But, nurse, my arm's starting to look like a fly screen door.
It's not in the arm today.
What are you doing? Hey, that's my blanket.
Now, turn over.
Your fingers are cold.
Sorry. Is that better?
Mmm. Lovely.
Good.
Don't tell me when you're going to do it.
Why?
Because I can't stand pain. You threw that.
I did not.
You did.
Hold still.
You hold me still.
Stop it.
You only turned me over so I couldn't look down your dress.
That's right.
How much to go?
Oh, half a pint.
Half a pint? In or out?
In.
I'll drown.
There you go. Finished.
Thank God.
Okay, roll back again.
I can see down your dress.
Stop it, Mr. Anderson.
If you wanted me to stop, you'd do up your top button.
I don't have a top button.
I know. It's fantastic.
Take your pills.
Pills, more pills. Injections, bedpans, more bloody pills. I used to be a sane man once.
Never.
I was. 6 weeks ago, before I came into this hospital, I was a sane man with healthy, normal interests like football, cricket, and hating Ellen Moffat. Now my whole life revolves around Desiree Nightingale, QC. Reading the words on the light switch. I know one of them's on. I guess the other one's off, but it's always too dark to see. And laying bets as to whether you'll have your top button undone.
Really?
Yes. I currently owe myself $896.50 because of your damned elusive cleavage. That's $448.25 each. Gold's cheaper.
Stop it. You're being indecent.
I'm being indecent. If you had any common indecency, you'd undo all your buttons.
Why?
So I can win my money back.
Mr. Anderson.
Call me Max. My mother did just before she died.
Why?
It's my name.
Mr. Anderson.
Max.
Take your pills.
All right. Where's the green one?
You don't get a green one.
I do. I got one yesterday. A little green one with yellow stripes on it.
Who gave it to you?
Nurse Bullock.
Who?
Nurse Bullock. The big hairy one with the back-combed legs. You know, the one that looks like she's been tagged by the Fisheries and Wildlife Department.
That's Nurse Buckle, and she's a very nice woman, and it's not a tag, it's an earring.
Well, if it's an earring, why has it got CSIRO stamped on it?
Mr. Anderson, take your...
Not without the green and yellow one.
You shouldn't have had a green and yellow one.
Why not?
Because they're for period pains.
Well, it worked. I don't have any period pains.
You never did.
Only because I took that pill. What's this one for?
To help you sleep.
And what about this pink one?
To make you feel better.
How can I possibly know if I'm feeling better if I'm asleep? What's this one here for? I suppose it wakes me up every 10 minutes so that I'll know I'm feeling better while I'm sleeping. Are you sure the doctors know what they're doing? You're all mad. No wonder I'm sick.
Mr. Anderson, if you don't take those pills, I'll send Nurse Buckle in to give you a cold bed bath.
Only if you hold my mouth closed and stroke my throat.
Mr. Anderson.
All right, give me the glass. I'm sorry. It's just that I get so bored. The room's boring. The ceiling's boring. Television's boring. Books are boring. Desiree Nightingale's boring. Except when I imagine her naked in the courtroom. Even the pain has become boring. The only joy I have is watching the cockroaches mating on the end of the bed.
What cockroaches?
Gotcha.
I can't see how you can be bored. You have lots of visitors.
And every one of them brings a book. Look at this. 18 copies of Thornbirds, and the story's exactly the same in every one of them.
You've got other books?
Oh, sure I have. Xavier Cugar's International Cha-Cha Omnibus Annual. 700 pages of footprints and arrows and a special chapter on how to conduct with a dog under your arm. Not to mention that one sizzling over there in the corner that Bob and the blokes at work sent me. I'm too scared to open it for fear what it'll do to me and eventually you or even Nurse Bullock.
Why? What is it?
The Erotic Adventures of Noddy, with special pages you fill up with warm water.
I don't believe you. Can I borrow it?
No.
Why not?
The batteries are flat.
Look, Mr. Anderson.
Max.
I can't stand here all day. I've got other patients to look after. Besides, doctor will be here any minute.
Nurse?
Yes?
This Dr. Higgins, is he any good?
Of course he's good. He's got hundreds of patients in here.
Yeah, but do any of them ever get better? I mean, I would have thought that the sign of a good doctor is one that doesn't have any patients.
I hadn't thought of it that way.
I've never trusted doctors ever since I was a little kid. I was at the surgery. He said, look at the ceiling. And in a flash, he thrust a cold spoon down me pants. And do you know why he did that, nurse?
No.
Neither do I. But you can see why I don't trust doctors or spoons. I still drink soup with a fork. Doctors, nurse, are a boil on the face of humanity and should be lanced with their own petard.
You shouldn't say that, Mr. Anderson.
Why not?
Because I am here.
Oh, good morning, Doctor.
Dr. Higgins.
Morning, Mr. Anderson. Nurse, would you kindly leave me and Mr. Anderson alone?
She wasn't doing anything.
Yes, Doctor.
Look, Doctor, what I said about you doctors, well, some doctors, a minority of doctors being a boil on the face of humanity, I didn't mean that you particularly, you know, you personally...
Yes, of course, I understand.
I suppose it was just that one doctor, one rotten doctor that spoils the barrel. You don't put cold spoons down people's underpants, do you?
No, why do you ask?
No reason, but is it acceptable medical practice to put cold spoons down...
Not that I know of, no.
I didn't think so. Well, Doctor, how are we?
Have you got fun?
How am I?
Mr. Anderson, Maxwell's son, I want you to listen carefully to what I'm about to say. Collar, Maxwell's son.
Are you all right?
Yes, fine. What's wrong?
Well, you're patting my hand and calling me Cobber and baring your teeth.
I'm smiling. Bedside manner, you know.
Oh, it suits you.
Thank you. Anyway, Cobber, Max, what I've got to say to you is not very easy to say.
What?
You're going to die.
Sounded pretty easy to me.
No, I don't think you quite understand, Maxwell's son, Cobber. You see, you have this complaint.
What's it called?
Medically speaking, it's called a disease.
That's it? That's all you know?
Heavens no, Max Cobber, we know more about it than that.
What?
It kills people. Huh. Oh, that does sound awful now, doesn't it? I hope I haven't upset you, Max, old Cobber, old son. What I really meant to say was that it's, what's the word?
Fatal?
No.
Terminal?
That's the one, terminal. Yes, a medical term for snuffing it.
Snuffing it?
Couldn't have put it better myself. Done a bit of medicine, have you?
No.
Good thing. Very depressing business. I go home some night, you know, to Joyce, my mistress. She says, you have a nice day, dear? Well, how can I say? It's wonderful with people like you snuffing it all day. Nothing personal, mind you, but it is ruining my social life.
Really?
Yes, the other night we were at a cocktail party, and Sybil, you know my pitiful wife. Well, Sybil stands up in front of everyone and says, listen, everybody, Fumbles here. She calls me Fumbles, you know. Fumbles here lost another 3 this morning. Well, there I was, a cherry in one hand, bits of, say, a cracker dangling off my chin, and, as you can imagine, a bit of gloom descended on the party.
Why?
Well, they're all my patients. You didn't have to go, that woman.
Listen, Dr. Higgins, this disease you say I have, what's it called?
Quite frankly, I don't know. We don't have a name for it.
But if you don't know what it is, and you don't have a name for it, how do you know it's going to kill me?
Because it's killed everyone else that's had it.
You are serious, aren't you?
Yes.
I'm going to die.
Yes.
I don't understand. I mean...
Yes, well, I'm sorry it had to be me to tell you, but, well, I am your doctor, and you really should know what's going to happen. Otherwise, it could come as a nasty shock.
But why me? Of all the people in the world, why must it be me that dies?
Because you're the one with the disease, old Max Elsbot.
But, I mean...
Now, Max Elsbot, unfortunately, I've had quite a lot of experience with patients in your circumstances, as my damn wife keeps telling the world. She's got to go, that woman. It's about now that it's usually par for the course for you to ask something like, how long have I got?
Well, how long have I got?
See, told you.
Doctor, how long have I got?
You really want to know?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
So, Maxwell Gubb, you're going to ask me to give you the bare, unadulterated, hard-edged, clinical, factual truth on how long you have to live?
Yes.
I wouldn't have a clue.
What do you mean you haven't got a clue?
Good Lord, you can't expect miracles, old Cobber. We don't even know what's killing you yet.
Well, have I got 6 months?
No, you could say 6 months. You could say a year.
A year?
Well, a year would be a bit misleading. Let's say, next week.
Next week?
At best.
You mean I could go any time?
Yes.
What, just like that?
Please don't do that. Tell me, have you tried hot honey and a lemon drink?
No. Why?
No reason. Just clutching at straws, I suppose. Anyway, Max, old chap, I've enjoyed our little chat. I think it helps to talk about things, don't you? I certainly feel a lot better. Anyway, I've told your wife. Well, actually, Sybil did. She's got a girl. And she's a bit upset. Your wife, not Sybil. Nothing upset Sybil. And it seems you have enough funds to cover things like my bills, that sort of thing. So don't you worry about a thing. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy yourself. Okay, Bob?
Max.
Yes, of course. And I'll be popping by from time to time, so try not to dwell on things. Oh, by the way, Max, old Cobb, if Sybil should ring, you know, her, would you mind telling her that I was with you last night? Thanks, old spot. Bye.
Thank you.
Knock, knock. Hello. Can I come in?
Yes.
Mr. Anderson?
Yes.
Max Anderson, isn't it?
Yes.
How do you do? I'm Winslow Pointfaster.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. Anyway, I'm from the room down the hall. Number 43?
Yes. What do you want?
Haven't you got a wonderful view of the gardens? Love spring. New blossoms. New life. Butterflies. Little birds chirping. Life. Bees buzzing happily. Oh, couldn't you just skip naked through the park?
No, Winslow.
I could. Once. I remember when I was a little boy, I'd been playing in a fountain in some gardens just like this one, and full of joy I skipped naked through the park, gaily chasing a butterfly full of life. And you know, Max, I caught that butterfly, and as its little fragile wings beat frantically against my hands, I said to myself, "No, Winslow, don't crush its brains out, because to do that is to kill, and to kill is to selfishly deprive another of life, and that is a sin." Do you agree, Max?
Yes, Winslow.
Good. Give me your kidneys.
What?
Max, I want your kidneys.
So do I, Winslow.
But I need them desperately.
Well, I'm not exactly using them as bookends myself.
Oh, Max, I know this may sound callous and hard, but I need your kidneys to save a life. A very important life. The life of a person who's very near and dear to me. A warm, wonderful, sincere human being whose loss to the world would be an appalling tragedy.
Who?
Me. Unless I get a kidney transplant within 3 days. 6 hours and 22.5 minutes. The world will be robbed of some of the finest window dressing since Michelangelo did the first Vatican Christmas windows.
Get out of here, Winslow.
Please, Max, give me your kidneys. Sign this.
No.
Max, do this one little favor for me and I'll never forget you. I'll dedicate my next window to you. Think of it, Max. You'll be famous. I can see the day-glow lettering now. The Max Anderson Memorial Hardware Display. His sacrifice is your discount price. Think of it, Max. 1,000 power drills arranged in rigid salute around a shrine of plastic buckets, on top of which rest 600 feet of coiled garden hose with a lily sticking out of one end. It'll be very tasteful, Max.
Winslow, get out of my room. Just go away.
Max, please, you won't need them soon. I will. Just 2 lousy kidneys.
No.
One.
No.
Why not?
Well, for a start, I'm bigger than you are.
So?
They won't fit.
I'll get them taken in.
No.
Max, listen to me. And I'm being very sincere when I say this. Don't think of it as saving me, because after all, the troubles of a window dresser don't amount to a hill of pins in this crazy world. Don't think of the heartbroken faces of the little children on Christmas Eve as they gaze at darkened windows cruelly cheated of my hardware nativity scene with the little baby Jesus power drill being visited by the 3 wise chainsaws from Japan.
You're crazy, Winslow.
Don't think of any of those things, Max. Slam shutters on your heart. But do, Max, I implore you, do think of this. You may be dying, Max, but don't your only begotten kidneys have a right to life? Deny me, deny everyone, but don't deny your kidneys a new life. Sign here.
Winslow, get out of here.
Did you buzz, Mr. Anderson?
Get him out of here.
Max, no, sign and save.
Come along, Mr. Pointfaster, back to your room.
Can you take kidneys on your conscience, Max?
Mr. Pointfaster, go back to your machine. Now, come along, let Mr. Anderson rest in peace. Oh, sorry, Mr. Anderson.
Oh, it's all right.
Now, come along.
I don't believe it. Hello? No, Dr. Higgins is gone. Who? Sybil who? Oh, hello, Mrs. Higgins. Yes, that's right. I was with Fumbles last night. Playing squash? Yes, that's right. Because he thought it would help my condition. No, you're quite right, it didn't help. Yes, I thought you could have told me that. Goodbye, Mrs. Higgins. He's right. She's got to go.
I'm sorry about that, Mr. Anderson.
It's not your fault. It's Mr. and Mrs. Pointfaster's fault.
How are you feeling?
Terrible. How do you think I should feel?
Terrible.
There you go. Another triumph for medical science.
Can I do anything for you? Let me fluff your pillows. Sit up a bit. How's that?
Fantastic. I can see right down
your... Your wife's outside.
She doesn't understand me.
I've heard that before.
Not from me.
Please, let me go.
No. Fluff my pillow again. It's gone all flat.
No.
Now go on, fluff my sheets. Fluff me.
No, Mr. Anderson.
Max, call me Max or I'll never let you go.
What about your wife?
She calls me Max, but it doesn't mean anything. Now call me Max.
Max.
Thank you. Our relationship's really coming together.
We don't have a relationship.
We do. There's only two little things keeping us away from true happiness.
What?
My wife and your buttons.
Do you want the bedpan before your wife comes in?
You really know how to destroy a magic moment, don't
you? Max, Mr. Anderson.
Uh-huh. You're weakening.
Mr. Anderson, I'm a nurse. You're a patient. None of our moments have magic.
Don't fight it, nurse. I know you keep a light burning in the window for me.
I keep a spoon chilling in the fridge for you.
You don't mean that. You're only trying to fight down your burning desires for me. Oh, hello, darling.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Anderson. I'll leave you alone.
Thank you, nurse.
Remember, just buzz.
Right, thanks. Well, Angela, this is a surprise.
Yes, I didn't think it was this bad.
No, I mean you visiting.
I brought you a book.
Thornbirds. Oh, this is really my lucky day.
Well, how are you? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to ask you that. What's new? No, that's wrong, too.
Well, what do you think?
I guess this means our trial separation's permanent. How do you feel?
I feel like opening a bestseller discount bookshop and used kidney emporium.
Max, I haven't got time for your tedious jokes.
You haven't got time.
No, I'm double parked. Sybil's waiting in my car.
Your car, Angela? It's my car.
Well, it is now, but it's nearly mine.
I'm not dead yet, Angela.
I know. That's why I want you to sign these papers. You haven't lost the use of your right hand yet, have you?
I'm left-handed.
Don't bandy words with me, Max. Just sign the papers, will you? I'll be late for my hair appointment. I'm going to a new Blake Twigden showing at Gallery Gucci. Lindsay and Barry are taking me.
Who's Barry?
Lindsay's new Afghan, of course. Didn't you read about it? Was on television when they landed at the docks. Of course, the bloody wharfies dropped it on poor Lindsay's Porsche. Absolutely ruined his skis and made a considerable mess of my hair. Now, if you'll ever stop chatting and sign these papers, I can be on my way.
What papers?
These.
What's that?
Papers to the house.
And this?
My car.
My car?
Not after you've signed it.
I may not sign it. Who knows? I might decide to leave it to the RSPCA.
Just sign it, mate.
What's this one?
Insurance.
And this?
Insurance.
This?
Medibank.
Oh, that one's had the dick. What's this one?
I don't know, but a guy called Wingelow Pointfaster said you had to sign it.
Angela, I know we haven't had much of a marriage, but would you do me one last favour?
What?
If, when I die, will you please organise to have my kidneys taken out and, without any fuss, have them buried at sea?
You're sick, Max.
I hope so. I'd hate to go through all this for nothing. I mean, I'd hate to think I got conned into dying.
It's always jokes with you, isn't it, Max? That so-called sense of humour of yours wrecked our marriage, and now you're going to do the same thing to your death.
Shut up, Angela.
Don't shout at me, Max. I'll cry.
You've been taking lessons, Angela?
It's not fair, Max, because in spite of all the rotten things you are, I really am quite sad about this thing. Are you going to sign these papers?
No.
I mean, we had some good times. Once. Before we got married. Because, well, I was very fond of you. I still quite like you. And I'll miss you, Max, darling. Oh, just sign the thing, will you, darling?
What is it?
Divorce papers.
What the hell do you want a divorce for? You're going to be a widow in a minute.
Think of something else for a change, will you, Max? You know I can't wear black. It makes me look so tragic. Besides, I know how spiteful you can be. You'll probably linger on for months and ruin things for Lindsay and me. Some of us have a life to lead.
Hello? Just a moment. It's for you.
Hello? What? Calm down. What? My God, that's terrible. How did it... My God... Calm down, darling. Of course I will, because I'll be right there. Lie down and rub your forehead. With your fingers, darling. Goodbye. What? No, he hasn't signed them. God, how awful. I really must go, Max.
Who was that?
Lindsay.
Pickles?
Something awful's happened to Barry.
The Afghan?
Yes, he's been ruined.
How?
He's dead.
What a happy release.
Pickles, Lindsay backed over him with a Porsche when he was trying to get it out of the pool.
Why was the Porsche in the pool?
Because he missed the carport, of course. That'll mean another embarrassing year of L plates. He'll never get his license. I couldn't stand another season of driving all the way to Kosciuszko in first gear.
You could get there faster by riding the late Barry.
Oh, look, I must rush. I'll leave the papers here for you to sign. And if I don't see you before, goodbye.
Yeah, goodbye, Angela.
Did you sign it, Max?
Get out of here, Wingelow, and take your machine with you.
Hello, Max.
Dr. Higgins.
Just thought I'd pop by to see if you were still within the blankets of bed. What was that thing that muttered out of the room?
The local spare part bandit, Billy the Kidney.
Who?
Wingelow Pointfaster.
Oh, him. Oh, sorry about that old sport. Must do something about him. I'll get the wheels taken off his machine. That'll slow him down a bit at least.
Doctor?
Call me Fumbles. It seems everyone else does.
I think I'd rather stick with Doctor.
Suit yourself. No answer to either.
Doctor?
Yes?
I've been thinking about this disease you say I've got.
Oh, yes.
It hasn't got a name, right?
Hmm.
And you don't know what it is?
No.
Well, how do you know I've got it?
By Jove, that's a tricky one. A cigarette?
No, I don't.
Good thing, too. It has been said they're bad for you, but I don't know. I don't know anything anymore.
My disease, Doctor.
Oh, yes, yes, awful, nasty thing, terrible. And it's not strictly true that it doesn't have a name. I myself have given a working title to this scourge of mankind.
What did you call it?
Sybil. Quite ironic, what? I wouldn't mention it to you know who would keep it in club, shall we? But it is quite witty, isn't it? Damn near chuckled on the road when I thought of it. You, a religious man, Max Alcomer?
No, not really. Why?
No reason, just clutching at straws, I suppose. I mean, you're not expecting a miracle or anything like that, are you?
Well, I wouldn't mind.
No, of course you wouldn't. I suppose we all have some secret hope. Wish you'd go, the damn woman. So actually, pray for miracles. Lots of my patients do. Take that Hindu chappie I lost last week. Good Lord, what a racket. Wailing, incense, finger symbols, tom-toms. Carried on as if it was the end of the world. I said to him, listen, Abdul Cobber, I said, you're in the grip of Sybil. There's absolutely nothing your friend Muhammad can do, even if he could hear you. I mean, he's in India, isn't he? Damn wog. Didn't even pay his bill. All I got out of his family was blank looks and curry chucked all over the Jaguar. God, I'd eat through the Duke on that stuff, no wonder Bombay Pongs.
Doctor, I don't want to seem pushy, but you haven't answered my question.
Max Cobber, old son, what you got to realize is that in medical science there's only one known constant, and that is, sooner or later, everyone's going to die. In your case, though, we can be more accurate.
What does that mean?
You're going to die sooner.
Than what?
Later. Hmm. Well, I hope our little chat's dispelled a few doubts, Max. And as I finish my cigarette, I'll be running along. Oh, no, I don't. See you before. Goodbye.
But, Doctor, I...
Good afternoon, Dr. Higgins.
Ah, nurse, just the lad I want to see. I want you to take extra special care of my good friend, Mr. Max Cobber.
Mr. Anderson?
Yes, him too, because he's a very special person. He's not well, you know, that's why he's in here in hospital. Bad case of snuffing, Sybils.
I see.
Good lad. Oh, well, goodbye, Bob.
Max.
Hello, Max.
Hello.
Comfortable?
Thanks.
Fluffy pillows?
Yeah, that'd be good.
Lean forward. Just there.
Your top button's undone.
So it is. Now just ease back. How does that feel?
What's your name?
Does it matter?
Tell me.
Sue.
I love you, Sue.
Don't be ridiculous.
I do. You're the only sane person in what's left of my life. They're all crazy.
Relax. Just lay back.
They're mad. The doctor's mad. Do you know he names diseases after his wife, then wonders why people throw curry at him?
Relax.
My wife's made of stainless steel, and her punsy boyfriend parks his Porsche in the pool. It's insanity. The place is like a three-ring circus.
You're overreacting, Max. This is a hospital, nothing like a circus.
Kiddies, here I am, Chuckles, the hospital clown.
What the hell is...
I'm here to brighten up your day with tricks and games and jokes and songs. Have a balloon. Have my autograph. How about giving me yours, Sonny? Sign here.
Get out of here, Winslow.
How'd you guess?
The machine.
Damn.
Mr. Pointfaster, get back to your room.
All right.
Sorry. Do you want me to go? You really should get some rest.
No. Stay for a while. Sue,
No, Max, I can't.
Come here, Sue.
You're making it very hard, Max.
I know. Come here.
No, Max, we shouldn't.
Why not?
What if someone comes in?
I promise you they won't.
How do you... Max, how do you know?
When you threw Winslow out, I saw you lock the door. Oh, I'm sorry, I pulled your button off.
Don't worry. I must be crazy. I've never done this before. Ever.
What the hell? You only live once.
You Only Live Once was written by Gary Riley and Tony Sattler. You heard Graham Kennedy, Nolene Brown, Noel Ferrier, Peter Whitford, Robin Nevin, Don Blake, and Kev Goldsby. Sound effect by Steve Collins. Recorded and engineered by Michael Byrne. Produced by Gary Riley and Tony Sattler. Executive producer, Julianne Ford. Graham Kennedy's RS Playhouse is an RS production for the ABC.